cannot hijack the resurrection. Jesus Christ did something very, very, very special. And so I was going to talk to you for just a few minutes. Last week we talked about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it was an awesome, awesome time. Everybody's excited. All this going on. Jesus is coming in. They're putting down the palms. And they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But they had a barrel of excitement. There was also a day of misunderstanding because they thought Jesus was there to take down the Roman kingdom. But God had bigger fish to fry, and the Roman kingdom was not. It was just a symptom. He was going to go ahead and take down the problem, and that was Satan and Satan's control. And so now let's move ahead now. And remember, when he came into Jerusalem, he came in on a donkey, on a colt, and that was a sign, wearing white, that was a sign not of a conqueror, but the sign that became a humility. Now, when he comes back, he's coming back on a white horse. He's coming out of the sky, out of the clouds in the sky, and we're going to be with him. Now, that's when he's going to take care of business. Amen. It's not going to be any misunderstanding. But between him coming back and him coming through, there was the cross. Now, leading up to the cross, Jesus has been trying to explain to his disciples what's going down. He's even telling the world what's going down, or the people around him, but they didn't understand. It's because they had never seen this before. They'd never heard of it. You know, I was thinking about, you know, if you're taking something very complex and get your little kid to look at it and how he would explain it, and when he got to explain it, you'd find out that what he explained was very simple terms. He didn't understand exactly what was going on. But the same way, people didn't understand what was going on with the crucifixion. And so Jesus gives them a prelude. The prelude of the crucifixion is the communion. It's one of the last things he does before he's taken away, before he goes to the garden and he's taken away, and the cross is soon to come. But in that communion, he was explaining to them what he was doing. And again, they did not understand it then, but later, it made sense. And some of y'all, when you first started coming to church, a lot of things didn't make sense, but later, it made sense. Maybe y'all say, we understand it now. Say it. We understand it now. Okay. So now, watch. God, in communion, was trying to get a hold of and explain what he was up to. And so now, we're getting ready, before we start the communion, here's how it's going to work. You know, I thought about this, you know, Jesus didn't have to do that. You know, it's like Muhammad Ali, he was on an airplane. And on the airplane, the steward said, Mr. Ali, you need to put on strap your seatbelt. And he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And he said, Mr. Ali, Superman don't need a plane either. All right, so here we go. For those that want to, we've got this. I'll open the top up. All you got to do is when you come up in line, you can take one of these, and you can use that. And that's fine. There's no shame. Any way you want to do it, if you still want to do it this way, that is more than welcome. I've got it up here so you can. Well, for those that want to do it the old-fashioned way, we're going to, used to, I had a big old loaf of bread, but today, I've got a little lemon bread. Okay? And it's going to be tore off and handed to you. And of course, don't dip your fingers in it, just dip a piece of bread in it. Hold it. Get the bread, and then take it right there. And all we're going to do is move up through the center. And once you move up to the center, whichever way you feel more comfortable with, closer to you, you can go down that way or go back that way. But that's how it's going to be. And so I think that today's going to be a very special communion. And I am happy, I am pleased to be able to share in this communion like this again, because COVID stole a lot of things. And I'm so tired of those little cups. We'll keep on doing them. I don't find it. I'm just tired of it personally. And I've been doing it this way, except with unleavened bread. We use the loaf of bread, but I mean a big old loaf of bread, but I've been doing this way in Emmaus now for months. So let's get ready. Can you kind of dim the lights just a little bit? Not totally dark, but just dim it some. God, it's awesome. There you go. Get ready.
This is the body, and this is the blood, broken and poured down for all of us. And in this communion, we share His love. This is the body. This is the blood.
Body broken for you.
Well, I will remember every single thing that you've done for me.
Blood shed for you.
I won't take credit. The sacrifice that set me free. I hunger and thirst for you, Lord. Come fill me today. This is the body. This is the blood. Come let me hold you now. For all of us.
So awesome. Look somebody say God is awesome. Yes. He gets better all the time. All the time. God gets better and more awesome. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, I read a story about it. It's a Palm Sunday. And because of a sore throat, a five-year-old Brandon sat home from church with a babysitter. When the family returned home, they were carrying several palm fronds. So Brandon asked him, what were they for? And the people handed them over, he said the people held them over Jesus' head as he walked by, his father told him. And Brandon said, wouldn't you know it? And he fumed. He said, the one Sunday I don't go, and he shows up. All right, y'all get it. Hello, burn the book. All right, get your Bibles out. How many has ever been hurt? Everybody can raise your hand. How many has ever been hurt by life? How many has ever been hurt by church? How many has ever been hurt because things just didn't work out the way you expected? We're going to talk about that today. Get your Bible out to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And for the reading of God's word, John chapter 20. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst. And he said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad that they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well, and we know, God, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we've gone through lately, or that we've gone through in our life, in our childhood, what we're going through now, that you are not already there. You're in our past, our present, and our future, and all at the same time. And because you are, you're arranging things that we don't even know about. You're fixing things that we don't even realize you're fixing. You're doing things that we don't even know that you're doing, because all we have is the present and the past. But you're already in our future, and you're fixing things for us as we speak today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I think it's somebody tell them the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. So, I'll talk to you for a few minutes. The next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the crucifixion. We're going to talk about the resurrection. We're going to be talking about kinsman redeemer. There's all kinds of things we're going to be talking about, because when we end this series up, we're going to go back to the things that the devil cannot do or cannot stop about the church. So the next 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be all about, of course, we have Jesus in every sermon, but it's going to be about this time of year and what has happened. So the power of our wounds. So now, they're in a time of crisis. Jesus is in a time of crisis. The disciples are in a time of crisis. The world was in a time of crisis. And because they were in this time of crisis, there was some wild things going on in their life. You see, Jesus has already died. He's on a He's been put in the tomb, and the disciples have hid themselves because they are scared of what's going to happen. When Jesus comes twice, he says, "Peace be unto you." That word peace means to bind together that which has been separated. What was separated? Number one, their peace of mind was separated. They had no peace of mind. Matter of fact, I can just play it in my head. The cross was still fresh in their minds. They were expecting Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom, and instead of setting up an earthly kingdom, he winds up going to the cross and looking like he was going to be in control of the Roman government. He instead submitted himself to the government, and he submitted himself to Satan, and he submitted himself to religion, and he allowed himself to be crucified, and they watched him every drop of his blood shed from his body. He was a sacrificial lamb. And in the sacrificial lamb, every drop had to be shed. So Jesus, it was a very powerful, powerful moment. So I'm pretty sure, you think about your own self. Think about your own crises when I talk about this. The crises, especially in their minds, it plays over and over again. Have you ever gone through something and you're trying to look toward the sunny side, but it just keeps playing over and over and over in your mind? The terror was still real, their hopes were shattered, and they had so many questions left unanswered. I can imagine them looking at, thinking about communion. They just had, the last thing we did was had a meal with him, and we had communion. And he washed our feet, and he gave us communion. And now he's dead, he's in a tomb. The guy said that the world on the street is, we're next. So they did what they thought they needed to do. Some of us in here right now, you're so disappointed. You're disappointed with yourself. You're disappointed with life. You're disappointed with God. And you're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to handle this pain? And in the midst of all of this, you find yourself just wanting to hide. Have you ever felt like that? You ain't doing that right now. You just want to hide. You don't want anybody to see you. You don't want to get around anybody. You just want to hide. Now, watch this now. Their motivating factor was fear. That word fear in the Greek is where we get the word phobia. I didn't say this. God said this. Phobia. So now, what is a phobia? A phobia is an unrealistic or an exaggerated fear. An unrealistic and exaggerated fear. People are scared to have phobias about spiders, you know, and it could be the minor, most minor spiders, the plastic spider, but you go crazy because of some, it is an unrealistic and exaggerated fear. Or tight places, all kinds of things. So, here they are, and God said they had a phobia. It was an unrealistic, exaggerated fear. But you know what? At the time, it didn't seem very exaggerated. At the time, all they could think about is watching Jesus beat beyond recognition, and then they saw him put on a cross. He got both forms of capital punishment. He's on that cross, and he dies. So in their mind, their fear is not exaggerated, and their fear is not unrealistic. Some of y'all go up to things today. Even myself, there's times when something's coming my way. All of a sudden, as I begin to play it out of my mind, I begin to think of things in an unrealistic way or exaggerated. If I don't get this done, blah, blah, blah. If I don't do blah, 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 blah. All of us, at times, although we might not have a phobia, it's phobia-istic. It's unrealistic. It's exaggerated. So the apostles now, they're going through this. They're going to find out later that there was no need to worry. But at the time, You see, so fear is actually a reaction. It's a secondary emotion. So fear is a reaction. So if it's a reaction, what's the reaction to? First, it's a reaction to confusion. They misunderstood his words. Have you ever misunderstood God's words? You know, I've heard people tell me before, but I believe God told me this, but this is what I'm seeing. And I always tell them, well, if you believe God told you, hold on to what he told you and don't believe. Listen, don't hold on to what you see and hold on to what you know. So there was confusion. They misunderstood his words. There was depression because they have a whole lot of unmet expectations. Of enough room there, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. John and James' mother, she done come in and said, I want you to let Jesus, I want you to let John sit on your right hand and James on the left hand. I mean, all this stuff's going on. They're arguing and they're bickering because they want to know who's going to be taking part in this kingdom. So they got unmet expectations. Well, they have unmet expectations. There's desperation. They need answers. They're here and they're next. They've seen Jesus, who at one time was unstoppable. They watched him walk through the crowd. They watched him just steal the water. They watched him raise the dead. They watched him do all kinds of things. And he was like sick 50. They could not touch him. But now he's dead. They did touch him. That's another desperate. They're hiding because they don't like to see him. They don't know who they can even trust anymore. They're hiding. Seriously, apostles, they're hiding behind locked doors. Let me tell you something about the locked doors and hiding behind locked doors. Here it is, watch. Faith has to be active. Listen to me. Faith has to be active in order to be effective. If you've got a cold and somebody goes to the store and they say, what works for you? Robitussin works good for me. Okay. They go get Robitussin and they come back in a day or two and you're worse and go, well, didn't that Robitussin work? I never took it. Well, don't you have it? Yes, I've got it. But I didn't take it. I just couldn't get up the nerve to take it. And so you had the cure, but you wouldn't take it the same way with your faith. It's got to be active. Doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. Usually when your faith is active, things happen because faith is there to help you get through these things in a very powerful way. So now, because of this, they move from faith attacking the situation to the situation attacking their faith. Wow. Ever been there? Something's going on, you don't understand, you feel threatened, you get anxious, and you find yourself in a position where once your faith was attacking, and now the situation is attacking your faith, and you find yourself going down, 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 and you just withdraw. See, Jesus was about to teach these guys something. He was going to show them a very valuable lesson. He was going to show them what was really going on and what was really happening. So let's just go a little bit deeper. I'm not going to go very far today because I want to focus on this one thing right now, and then we'll focus on the others next week. How many here's ever been wounded? You've been wounded by your family. You've been wounded by your friends. You've been wounded on your job. You've been stepped in a booby trap yourself a time or two. Anybody ever done that? I have. Amen. You know, I remember one time I was watching this show where the guy was showing us how to, on TV back in the day, you know, like 8, 19 years old, and the guy was showing how he built traps. It was like Marlon Perkins, you know, and how he built the trap and he pulled the tree down and he put the loop down and he would cut it when the animal come by. And I said, that'll be cool. So I went outside and I found me a good old limb and I pulled it down with one rope. And I tied it good and hard. It was nothing like a triangle, so I stuck my leg in it. And the worst thing I could have done, I did. I cut the rope. That root hurt my head very bad. But I got yanked up in the air. And my mama come out, and we'll just leave that alone. But she told me some things, and she led me some things. Amen. But our wounds are very powerful. You can let your wound, listen carefully, you can let your wound consume you, and then you'll be of no help to anyone. One way I know somebody's healing, here's how I know, is initially after a wound, if the person's talking about it, that's fine. Let's talk about it. Get it out. Let's talk about it. It might take two or three more times as they're talking about the wound. When the third or fourth time I see them, and now they're not talking about the wound, they're talking about how to heal and what they need to do, that's when I know they're not being consumed by their wound. But there are some people I know in this world, in my family, amongst my friends, that every time you get around them, they want to keep pulling the band-aid back and show you about how bad they've been hurt. That's all they ever do. They want it to heal. They want to keep pulling it back and showing you. Guess what? When they do that, you know what it's telling me? It's telling me they are consumed by that wound. They won't let it go. They won't give it to God's hands. They won't let God do what he's trying to do, what God wants to do, because they're consumed by that wound. And they're of no help to anyone. Or you can overcome your wound and through the power of God help many. You know, for a long time there after Bethany died, somebody come talk to me about the problems they're going through. Go, well, that's nothing but what, nothing like what you've been through. And I go, just sit in a race, just sit in a contest, please. It's okay. I'm dealing with that. Me and God are working through that. Just tell me about you. Well, I would, but, you know, what you've been through, I go, I told you, God's got this. Bethany said either way she wins, she won. I'm working through it, and let's talk about you. So, again, people thought, without even knowing this, that I was consumed in the wound. But I was busy overcoming. Oh, does it hurt? It still hurts. Do I shed tears? Yes, I still shed tears. Saturday, Friday was Bethany's birthday. Yes, it hurts. Thought about that girl. And then I went out and did something in honor of her. And we talked about her and the people we got around. We talked about her to them, too. Because you know what? I'm not hiding. I'm not going to be locked up and not tell anybody about the goodness of God. I'd be locked up and be mad at God. Be locked up. And eat it with anxiety and depression. So, let's move on a little further here. Your wounds are very powerful. Why are your wounds so powerful? I'm glad you asked. There's two types of pain. I want you to read that. Because that could be the same pain. If you went through it, that is your pain. There's two types of pain. One that hurts you and the other one that changes you. I've been hurt many times. And it's how it changes me decides on how life will be after the wound. After the pain. Jesus could have been upset with the apostles because they ran from him. They ran. The only one there was John. They all ran. They hid. Judas committed suicide. Peter, he's done run off. All of them run like scared rabbits. They finally meet back together in the upper room. And they get behind those locked doors. Yes, Jesus was the Son of God, but Jesus was also the Son of Man. He was 100% God, but he was 100% man. But because he was 100% God, he knew the plan, and he was prepared for the plan, and he had the price to pay for the plan. But as the Son of Man, he had feelings and he had emotions. Today, here's my challenge. Whatever pain you got right now, and it hurts you, it can either change you a negative way and make you angry and bitter, and I'm trusting everybody, or you can let it lift you to a new height to where God can use you. And I'll explain to that in just a minute. All right, talk about pain. First of all, let's go to a little acrostic. Pain, number P, is powerful. Why is pain powerful? Because every pain you ever, the road to heaven, listen carefully, the road to heaven is always, y'all say always,
always,
paved with pain. Y'all say that. The road to heaven is always paved with pain. Always. You'll never see a person in the Bible that didn't have pain. I don't know anybody in my life that does not have pain. So it's, but it's powerful because there's a plan for it, and there's a purpose for it. God has a plan for you, God's got a purpose, and that pain is in the equation. Okay? Number two, A. We all experience it. There's no prima donnas in here that never had. You know, have you ever tried to see yourself? I wish I had his life, man. He's got it made. Man, he got it made. She got it made. If I had her hand, I'd throw mine in up to Annie. Man, shit, they never have a problem. Really? I can promise you as a pastor and a counselor that I've never seen anybody ever, ever that had made. There's so many better decisions, so many better preparation, but there's nobody that had it made. They all are level and they're all equal at the foot of the cross. P-A-I. And I'm going to go in just a minute with that a little bit further down. But that's how you identify with others. Sympathy. If I fill up on you before Bethany died, I would go back further. Because I had a mother die, a wife die, and a child die. And all my trainers said the three toughest things to lose was a parent, a spouse, and a child. And it just all depends which one's number one. I can tell you what's number one, a child, to me, a child. But before I had that loss in my life, actually when I went up to people that lost a parent or spouse or a child, especially when it all started with mama, I just said book learning. Just book learning. So I had sympathy for them. Holy Spirit in me, I had sympathy for them. But after I lost my mother, and I come to someone that lost their mother or father, now I've got empathy. Because I've been there too. I had somebody say, I lost their spouse, and said, how did that feel? I said, I don't know. I've only lost my mother. I said, I just had sympathy for that because I had not gone through that. Now I've got empathy. And then a child, I lost my child. I wish somebody could tell me how they felt about that. And one of the worst things you can do is go tell somebody, I know how you feel. Really? Especially if you lost nobody, you're going to tell me how I feel after losing my mama, my wife, and my child. You're going to tell me you know how I feel. No, you don't. You may have sympathy, but you don't have empathy. Now watch this. Identify with others. And then, your pain is never wasted by God. Ever. Let me tell you something about pain. God has counted every tear you've ever cried. Now, God knows He ever counted every tear you've cried. The book of Revelation says that He's got a jar and He's caught every tear you've ever cried. Wow. So, He's counted every tear, He's caught every tear, and when He comes back, you're going to find out just how big a bad He is. And He's going to show you what it means to have that kind of power in His hand. So let's go a little bit further. Let's talk about this, what's going on with the apostles here. Number one, it propels our message. You see, they had no peace. That word peace means really, I just told you, to join together that which has been separated. Their peace had left their heart, their mind, their peace had left each other. I'm sure they were looking at each other kind of trying to figure out, because Judas betrayed him. Now he goes, is anybody else in here a betrayer? Judas sold him out. Are any of y'all going to sell him out too? Can't even trust the 11 that are left. Can't trust them. You see, limited reach. They assemble together. Their direction is unsure. And so what they did do is they fled to the familiar. I'm going to tell you what happens to people when they get overwhelmed, when they get unsure of themselves, when they're not sure what to do. Instead of stepping into the unknown with faith, they flee to the familiar. Because the familiar feels, at least they know what to expect. That's why people in abusive marriages don't get out of them, because they say, at least not that if I get another spouse, that might be worse than the one I've got. Or they got a bad job, and they go, well, if I try to get another job, at least the job I'm in, sorry, don't pay much, but at least I got a job. And so stay in the familiar. So they had a limited reach. They were simple together, the 11, and they had limited relationships. It was just the disciples. You see, their dependence is unsure. So they're isolated. And let me just stop for just a second. I'm going to give you four responses. Four responses, unhealthy responses to the trauma these disciples were facing. Number one, they fled to the familiar. Stay when you can, when you find yourself in trauma, number one, you flee to the familiar. Number two, you isolate yourself. You try to get away from anybody or anything that can cause any more pain. That's what they were doing. Number three, the new piece that was limited resources, they shut the door. Somebody's been traumatized, they shut the door so they won't be hurt again. First, they flee to the familiar, they get by themselves, and then they lock the door. Have you ever seen somebody that's been hurt and you try to talk to them and they won't even open up to you? You know what's doing? They're responding to a trauma in their life. And what's going on is they're hurting. And they're afraid you're going to hurt them too. They're afraid anybody's going to hurt them. And so they stay locked behind the closed doors of their hearts. It won't happen again. And then finally, the door's shut. Number three, the door's locked. Number four. Here's the sad part. Nothing you can do when you respond like this can stop the pain. The apostles, these are powerful men. They went out. And they were healing the sick. They were raising the dead. They were doing just like Jesus did. They had a message. It was powerful. But because of their trauma of watching Jesus' trauma, now they're shut up. Shut back, shut up, gone. Never, ever, Satan thought to be used again. Toy balloons here. Let me tell you something. Get rid of clothes. All the walls that we build, all the doors that we lock, can't lock out the pain. Well, that's nice, Pastor. Can you tell us something a little nicer than that? Yeah. Ready? Although the things you do can't stop the pain, you can't keep Jesus out either.
More.
Come on, that's right. Come on. You might be trying to keep your friends out, your people out, your family out. You can't stop Jesus from getting to you. Praise God, I love him, and I thank him, and he's awesome. So now, get ready. Bless my heart. I discovered that didn't mean to. His scars covers yours. His scars covers yours. Watch this. God gave me this on the way out the door, so I did it so fast I didn't even check it. First, he sympathizes with you. He came down from him. He sympathized with man's condition, sympathized, so he came down from heaven. Somebody sympathizes with you, they come to where you're at, They hold your hand. Job's comforters to start with, they just sat with him, didn't say a word. Everything was good till they opened their mouth. But they sat down with him for days and just sympathized with him. But then he empathized because he carried the cross. It's enough to know that man's got a sin problem and that the devil's got a hold. The sympathy coming down, but the empathy, I'm going to carry a cross. And I'm going to crush Satan. Not the Roman Empire. I'm going to crush Satan. But he gave the greatest of them all when he rose. He gave the greatest, think about it, the greatest of when he rose. Everybody stand for a minute.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
I am the God. Glory! Glory!
A wave tossed in the ocean's heart. Faithfulness of the wind will fill you in the land of calling. Lord, you cast me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am finally quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A way to talk to you, trust me. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, today and gone tomorrow. The way you talk to me is a charge. You can grab the rims, kill you. You can't be when I'm calling. You catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I'm yours.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We were having a practice for the play, the Easter play. I'll sit on the way. And the way to the wind in Lutz Creek. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, I think a 5-car collision. 6, and I was right in the middle of it. Guy either had a heart attack or something, but he swerved into my lane. When he swerved into my lane, he hit me head on. Just before he hit me, I saw the greatest flash of light I'd ever seen. I was trying to figure out what's going on because I see a car coming right straight at me. I'm going 55, maybe 60. He was going about the same. He killed him and the guy riding with him. He hit me. And then because he hit me like this, as we were spinning around, he hit another car and put the two girls in the hospital with broken backs. And that night, I was shook up, man, I was shook up. I finished the wedding, I got somebody to do it here for me, and I finished it legally that night. I still was in a bloody shirt. And I went home, and it just kept coming to me and coming to me about that bright light, that bright light, that bright light. And the next day on the way to church, when I went by the place where all that death and destruction was, and I walked away, two things happened simultaneously. One, that song started playing on the radio. And it hit me, that flash of light. It was God's angel stepping in between me and that other car to protect me. Not because I was special with the rest, no, but because my job's not finished yet. And when I heard the song playing, and I thought about that, I had to pull over on the side of the road. And I can tell you the trauma from that death, and people hurt, and all that stuff going on, my car was flushed. And the man said, you should have been dead. You should have been dead. And I was supposed to have Bethany and Linda with me, and they said, she'd been with anyone with you, they'd have dollars. But at the last minute, they went somewhere else. We got up at all. But to go out of here, that trial, getting on the road, I'm here to tell you something. I said, God, I'm not going behind locked doors. you're going to have to help me because I got too much to do to be locked up in this thing. And so then he really decided to help me. Bethany got her permit. And nobody would drive with her. So I drove with her. I hadn't even get over that PTSD. Or not trying. But God helped. He helped you defeat great stumbles in your life. There he is. He can defeat the grave. He can help you defeat the greatest things in your life. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today, somebody looking around, and you don't have a relationship with God, or you're not as close as you want to be, put me in the way. Not going to make an example out of you, not going to call you up here. That's what we pray. Just put that hand up. I'm not as close as I want to be. I'm not where I want to be. Next. If you've been wounded and you find yourself in locked doors, behind locked doors, remember these disciples showed the path of that kind of response. You flee to the familiar, you isolate yourself, you shut the door, and then you lock it. Jesus fixed you. He fixed it so you don't have to live that way. Now this is going to be a bold ask now. If you're in one or all four of those trauma responses right now, and you're ready for God to do something for you, nobody looking around, every head bowed, just put your hand up quickly and say, out there, and I need you, God. I need you. I need you. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. All I've been able to hear this morning is tell them if they trust me, I will show them something greater. Give them comfort greater than the pain. I will show them doors that it could not have opened if it hadn't been for the wound. But you got to step out of that locked door. Let's all pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for resurrection. I thank you, God, that you are alive and well. And I thank you, God, that you can go through any door and get to us. I thank you, God, for all the powerful things you've already done in my life. And I thank you now because you are helping me unlock that door and find peace again. I rededicate my life to you this Easter morning. I give it to you, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. And we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother B, we dismiss us in prayer. Who brought us here? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
the privilege you've had to be here this day. The Lord has been good for us, and that's right. While we celebrate this day, and what you have done for us, and how we can help others by doing something to be this way. Jesus, let me pray. Sing it.
I'm so far.